really, we've been equipping for knowledge and for understanding and for readiness concerning the end times in light of the geopolitical climate, the news and the current events regarding the activity in the Middle East lately. Many people have been asking questions, and you've been engaging in conversations at work and at home, among family and friends. And we want to be sure that we have a biblical foundation for understanding the end times climate and culture. So we've looked closely over the past few weeks at current events. We've examined the biblical timeline of events of the last days. And we've been able to identify various markers in our era that include some of the things that we're seeing today that could indicate signs of the times. And although we realize and we know that it's not reasonable, nor is it responsible to, really biblical even, to begin to put dates and times and specific prediction on end times activity, Jesus, he did instruct us to be watchful and be ready. Come on, everybody say, be ready. Be ready to be aware of the signs of his coming and to have our hearts filled with anticipation for what God is going to do. How many of you are anticipating what the Lord's got in store in our time? Amen, everybody? Amen. That's why we've relied on our base text from 1 Peter 4:7. So before we pray, read this with me, guys. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Let's read it just one more time. I just love this directive. Out loud with me, guys. Everybody ready? Come on. 1, 2, 3. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you that today we can come with anticipation, with excitement and readiness concerning what you will do in these times. And Lord, I ask that you help me today to be consistent, to be faithful, to speak your word with authority and purpose today, God, in ways that you would have me to speak, that our hearts will be motivated and encouraged, that our lives will be changed by your word. God, because we rely upon your word, we need your word. And Lord, we love your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, if you love him, can you say a good amen this morning, guys? God bless you today. God bless you, everyone. Well, this morning I am going to conclude this series with a subject that really cannot be neglected when discussing readiness for the end times. I'm going to be spending a few moments this morning talking to us about eternal life. And more specifically this morning, I want to talk to us about heaven. Come on, everybody say heaven. How many are looking forward to heaven? A series on the end times seems incomplete. I thought about this for 2 weeks. It really seems incomplete unless we emphasize this truth that God intends for all people to join him in our heavenly destination. It's God's will that we be saved and join him in heaven. Amen. So let's first answer, as we get started this morning with our talk today, let's first answer the most important question. What did Jesus say about eternal life? What did the Lord say? So we refer to the book of John, chapter 11, verses 25 through and 26. Jesus said this, a scripture that most of us will be familiar with if you've been in the church for any length of time. The Lord said this. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. What a remarkable thing for the Lord to say. It's difficult to contemplate this concept of living and not dying upon belief in Jesus. But what the Lord is saying is that although those who believe in him may die physical death, the real person of who we are, that means the soul and the spirit, will never die. How many of you realize this morning, you are a person that is a body, a soul, and a spirit? He also said these words about your eternal destination in John chapter 5, 24 through 29. This is the Lord speaking. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." If you're born again this morning, you ought to be thankful for that right there. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Praise the Lord. This month we've seen in various other scriptures how the Bible describes the resurrection of the dead in the last days. And here in John chapter 5, now we see that Jesus himself took the time to foretell and proclaim and describe this as well. He said the dead will hear the voice of God, and when they do, they will live. And he continued, verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And then finally he explains, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth." I want to read that one more time. Let's don't skate over this concept this morning, because this is the gospel. Jesus foretelling what we've been reading all month long about what will happen in the last days. He said, "Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Here in this scripture, church, we see and hear from the Lord that both the righteous and the unrighteous will be resurrected. However, and hear me closely on this one today, where and how the resurrected future will play out will depend on one thing. It'll depend on one's position in Christ. And believers who've been made righteous by grace through faith in Jesus Christ upon death, the Bible describes this, they'll be taken to heaven to be in the presence of God. And they'll be with those, Paul said, who will not sleep in Christ, but will be alive when he calls the saints home to be with the Lord. And those particular people will be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the Bible says that corruption shall put on incorruption. And they'll meet the Lord in the air and be joined together with those people who've been resurrected. And the Bible says, and thus they will forever be with the Lord. What does that mean for us? It means whether we go by the grave or go by the heavenly call at the rapture of the church, the promise is for those who believe is the promise of heaven. Aren't you glad about heaven this morning? Believers have the promise of heaven. Gives me a lot of encouragement when I think about the prospect of one day being in heaven. One reason why I'm emphasizing heaven today in this final piece of this end time series is because This world offers one perspective, but as people who are born again, children of the living God, we always need to have a heavenly perspective instead of a worldly perspective. See, believers today who are in heaven and those who are alive on the earth, the Bible says this, and we've gone over it the past couple of weeks. You will receive a new, immortal, incorruptible body. And soon afterward, you'll stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ and receive rewards for your good works. And you'll participate in the ceremony of the revelation of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. If you're born again today, you have the promise of heaven. Jesus said as he ascended to heaven on a cloud that he was going to prepare a place for you. Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad about that this morning? There are three words translated heaven in the Word of God in Scripture. In other words, it's talking about three kinds of heaven in the Bible. I want to show you these because I don't want anybody to get confused about three heavens. Sometimes causes people to be confused about the nature and location of heaven. It means the Bible refers to three kinds of heaven. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 2. And you've read this many times, I'm sure. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows. Such a one was called up to the third heaven. I've always read this scripture. And when I was young and before I understood what this scripture really meant, it confused me a little bit. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If this guy was caught up into the third heaven, then what about the first heaven and the second heaven? And I want us to understand this so that you can explain it. There are three kinds of heaven in the Bible. The first heaven can be referred to as the atmospheric heaven. This first heaven is the sky. It's the troposphere. It's the region of breathable atmosphere that blankets the earth. It's the heaven that the Bible talks about in the book of Genesis account when the Bible said that the windows of heaven were opened and the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. See, when you look up into the sky, you're looking at the heavens that the Bible describes as the place where the hydraulic cycle takes place. It's a created system that God put in place to hydrate and provide water for his creation. In other words, when you look up and you see the blue sky and the clouds, you're really just looking at the water factory that God made. It's the first heaven. Psalm 147 and verse 8 says that God covers the earth with clouds. This is the first heaven. The second heaven, we can call the planetary heaven or space. Second heaven is where the stars, the moon, the planets are located. It's outer space. Scripture uses the phrase, the word ruanos, to describe this heaven in Genesis chapter 1, 14 through 17. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night. And let them be for sight and for seasons and for days and for years. And let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. When you look up at night, church, and you see the stars, the planets, you observe the cosmos. This is the second heaven. But then there's the third heaven. And that heaven we can understand and refer to as the dwelling place of God. The third heaven. It's the one Paul referred to in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Where God dwells and his angels are there. And the saints who have died who are already there. See, according to 2 Peter 3 and 10, the first two heavens, the clouds in the sky and the space in the cosmos, the Bible says those first two heavens will one day eventually pass away. But the heaven that stands as the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of Almighty God, that place, the Bible says, is an eternal place. It's the dwelling place of God, and it is a glorious place. So there are just a few things I want to point out and remind us about heaven today that all depict and remind us of the glory of heaven. Please remember this statement because as believers, we need to make sure that we've got a heavenly perspective rather than an earthly perspective. Everything that is truly precious to us as believers is in heaven. I want you to lean in. Let me say that one more time. Everything as believers, if you're born again this morning, everything in my life, in your life, that is truly precious to us is in heaven. For example, number one, our Heavenly Father is there in heaven. Come on, somebody. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Did you know not only the Father is there right now, but Jesus himself is there in heaven right now. Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That means that Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, actively praying for you from his place beside the Father in heaven. That's where he is. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:24, it says, "Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of the Father on our behalf." Aren't you glad this morning that when Jesus ascended to a cloud, he went to prepare a place for you, and today he is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. I like to think of the Lord sitting on the edge of his seat waiting, because he said, "It is not the time and the date is not for us to know." He said, "Not even the Son nor the angels in heaven, only the Father knows." So I like to think of the Lord sitting on the edge of his seat looking down and waiting, saying, "Lord, is it time? Is it time, Father? Is it time?" I just know that he must be eager to retrieve his church, the bride of Christ, and bring us to heaven where we truly belong. So the Savior and the Father are there right now in heaven. Number two, this gives us so much comfort at times in life. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are already there. Aren't you glad about that this morning? Our brothers and sisters in Christ who've gone before us are already there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 says, "In turning to God, we've come to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." That means that our departed loved ones in the faith are already there in heaven. Come on, somebody. Not only that, but every Old and New Testament believer who has already died is already there. Church, it's not just something that we say at funerals and memorial services when we say, "Well, we'll see them again." No, it's not just a cliche that you use to console and comfort one another at the funeral. No, it's a promise right from your Bible that those precious people, your loved ones who have died having served and loved the Lord, they are there in heaven awaiting you, and you will be reunited with them on that great day. Come on, somebody. It should give you hope this morning. This right out of your scripture. Number three, the next thing that gives us hope today is this: our names are recorded there. Praise God, praise God. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, Jesus told his disciples they had been casting out devils. And they came back to the Lord and they were excited because the devils were obeying them. And Jesus corrected them, and he said this: "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." See, the biblical theme is so clear. When your name is recorded in heaven, it's like a title deed to the inheritance that you'll receive one day once you finally get there. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says this: "We are begotten in Christ to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that inheritance fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Come on, somebody. Is your name written in heaven this morning? I said, is your name written in heaven this morning? Come on, somebody. If you're born again today and you know in whom you believe, your name is written in heaven. And the place that he's gone to preserve for you is your inheritance, and you will receive that as an eternal reward one day. That's why we can say, number four, our true citizenship is in heaven. That's what the Bible says. According to Philippians 3 and verse 20, Our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, church, heaven is where we really belong. Can I get anybody to agree with me on that one right there? Come on. This is why I don't get upset about all that's going on in the world, because I don't belong here anyhow. Come on. I pray for everybody that's on the edge of their seat watching the news day and night, listening to all the propaganda, getting their hearts and their minds filled up with all the garbage that's specifically designed to get you fired up and on the edge of your seat and worried and concerned and burdened about all that's going on in this world. Yes, as believers, we need to do our civic duty. We need to be on guard and make sure that we are obeying the will of the Lord, how we convey our lives in this society. But don't get up in the air about all that's going on in this world. If you're a believer, this world is not your real home. I said it's not your real home. Come on, somebody. Hebrews 11:33 says, we are just strangers and exiles on this earth. Can y'all get a hold of that one right now? That means that in our heart of hearts, church, our goals, our mentality, our perception should not be centered on what takes place here on this earth or even the accumulation of earthly possessions in which so many people are caught up to their ears in this mindset and this commitment to accumulate and grab and do all they got to do to get all the earthly possessions they can possibly do. Listen, our real wealth, our real reward, you will not get it while here on this earth. Your real wealth and your real reward is waiting on you on the other side when you get to heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that the only real treasure that you will possess throughout all of eternity is not on the earth. Your real treasure is found in heaven. Come on, can somebody say, I receive it this morning? But make no mistake, you do have an eternal reward in heaven. And that's number 5, finally this morning. Our eternal reward is in heaven. That means that here, our eternal reward, the thing that matters the most, is waiting on you in heaven. See, the concept of a heavenly reward should challenge us. It should challenge us all to consider our motives in everything that we do and in everything that we say. To consider our values, to consider our actions. Asking that vital question this morning, why do I do what I do? Am I just carving out a living for myself? Am I working for myself to accumulate and to have and to hold? Or do I think about the spiritual aspects of my work and my service, my giving, my time? Knowing that as a believer in Jesus and carefully following his instructions and following after him as a disciple, we need to have this mentality that says, you know what? I realize every day when I get up and my feet hit the floor that what I do today will not go with me to the other side unless it's for the Lord. I need to know every day that what I do needs to be for God. Pastor Brandon, how do you really do that? I believe that you can serve people with heaven in your mind. You can serve the church with heaven in mind. You can go to your job and do your very best and work as unto the Lord and not as unto men with heaven in mind. Come on, somebody. You can love your family with heaven in mind. You can work hard with heaven in mind. Because only what you do for him will last forever. I said only what you do for him will last forever. Can you receive that this morning, church? Also want to point out today this. Please look carefully on your screen. Heaven is the place where death is fully conquered. Heaven is the place where death is finally and fully overcome and conquered. We got to look at that scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15, then comes the end, talking about Jesus, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy will be destroyed is death. Aren't you glad about it? I want to end my talk this morning by reading scripture because I want to challenge us with this thought today. If you are not a citizen of heaven, today is your day to begin to believe in what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, about eternity, and about heaven. Heaven is the most remarkable place in all of creation. And only what you accumulate in heaven is what really truly matters. Can y'all receive that today, guys? I want to go to scripture here today in Revelation chapter 21. It's the best description of heaven I can think of. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat at the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his, and he will be mine. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Praise God, praise God. Praise God. "I shall be his God, and he shall be my son." Are you a citizen of heaven right now? Are you a citizen of heaven right now? Pastor Brandon, I don't feel like it because I'm in this world and I go through ups and downs and it's hard. I get that. But the way that we can be a citizen of heaven now and to identify as God's son, God's child right now, is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. It's a condition that God places on your life. The moment you believe, what I've always believed is this, and I believe we can find this in the Bible. I believe that the moment you repent and believe, what happens in the spirit is this. God supernaturally, we call this regeneration. God supernaturally gives you a new heart. He takes away that old, hard, stony heart from your life. And the Bible says he replaces that heart with a heart of flesh. It's a heart that, man, it's not hard and broken. It's open to the things of God. It's open to a new kind of love, a new kind of commitment, a new kind of warmth, and a new kind of joy, and a new kind of hope. I know so many hard people. And I get it, man. You've been through so much. It's hard to trust. It's hard to believe in people. It's hard to, for some people, it's just hard to even believe in God because you've been through so much. But when he gives you a brand new heart, here's what I believe happens. Your name goes in a book in heaven. It's the Lamb's book. Have you ever heard this before, guys? It's the Lamb's book of life. Aren't you glad to be in the Lamb's book of life right now? Because one day down the road, after everything we've spent a month talking about in here, at the very conclusion, right before eternity, everybody who's ever lived is going to stand before God in a great time of judgment. I elaborated on this last week. Go back on the video on YouTube and watch it if you don't know. You're going to stand before God, and there's going to be one criteria: is your name in the book? That's it. It's amazing. Is your name in the book? And it's so easy to get your name in the book. All you've got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We also believe, I don't have time to break it down this morning, we also believe that repentance is necessary unto salvation. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Pastor Brandon, you may not have to put in years and years of church. No, you don't. You may not have to be good for so many years and get my good works piled up and don't have to get enough people believing that I'm going. No, all you have to do is believe. And your name's in the book. And you're going to heaven. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it, guys? That's it. I want to invite you to believe this morning.
Thank you for tuning in to Locksley Church today. If it's your first time here, please fill out a Connect card by scanning the QR code on the screen. If you have a prayer request or something stuck out to you in the service, please leave a comment in the comment section below. Thank you again, and we can't wait to see you next time.